Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. Right now, it's my show. I'm hosting alone, although I do expect Heather to be joining me shortly. Mark will not be here tonight, but for the time being, it's just me and myself with a cat riding a side saddle on the modem. This is Access Astrology, where sometimes you can find three astrologers sharing our love of astrology with you and what's going to happen in the heavens above. And other times, it's just one of us, like now. So at any rate, what we do here is we talk about what's happening, how it feels, how to work with it, and we take calls from listeners and talk to them about what the process is and what they're working on and where they are in their life and questions that they may have. So our week is busy week this week. We have the eclipses. We're entering eclipse season, which, of course, is always very exciting. And when we enter the eclipse season, what we do is we watch the sun and the moon knock each other out. So this is going to be a lunar eclipse. Not, they don't actually knock each other out, but they knock the light out of each other's, out of the sky. So this is a lunar eclipse, which means Earth's shadow goes across the face of the full moon that happens on Thursday. And when that happens, the moon turns kind of this really interesting color of red, and we have this kind of moment in time where we're a little extra emotional. Lunar eclipses, of course, lunatics, and of course, you've already noticed on the full moons that the full moons tend to bring up the little crazies, the crazies on the bus, the crazies running around. There's a whole bunch of kind of highly emotional energy with the full moon. When it's a lunar eclipse, even extra more full energy, even extra more emotional stuff. And this actually happens to be a pretty big lunar eclipse for a couple of reasons. One, it's going to be on, well, first I'll give you the details of it. It's April 25th, 2013 at 3:57 in the afternoon. And the chart cast for Washington, D.C. is what we call a bucket chart. The handle of the bucket, which is the two most important, or the most important part of it, because all the other planets talk in and connect into it. The handle of the bucket is Moon and Saturn sitting by themselves. And, of course, the Moon's light is going to go out, and they're also sitting next to the node of fate. Now, we call eclipses big lunations because they take place within 15 degrees of the north or south node. The Sun and the Moon meet there, and that then makes them line up. Okay, because the nodes are the place that the planets leave each other little love messages. The moon leaves a message for the sun. Sun picks it up. He leaves a little message for the moon. They do this for 5 months, and then they meet. And they meet in alignment. So the sun and the moon and the earth all line up. And they cast, and the closer they are to the nodes, the more intense the energy is. So this is a big one because we have three eclipses. We have the one that is the one that is tied to the whole energy of the new moon, which is right on the node of fate, and then the other two which straddle it, and those two straddle on either side. And I think Heather just joined us. Heather, are you there?
Yes, indeed. Yes, I am.
Yay.
This is
cool.
Heather Owen Robbins from St. Paul, Minnesota. On the rising banks of the Mississippi. It's flooding out here in the Midwest.
In the West, yes.
Snowing and flooding. So much
snowing. Really? Wow. Okay. And Mark's not with us tonight. He's going to bed because he has to get up at 4 in the morning and stand on his head, because his schedule changed. So he won't be here. So anyway, I was just telling everybody about the eclipse and how it's a handle of God, a bucket handle with the moon and Saturn. And, of course, the moon's going to go out. The light is going to go out. Which brings us a heightened emotion. So,
it does,
Heather,
indeed.
What do you want to say? Hmm? Yeah.
And one of the things that worries me, or I'm feeling the concern for, is the sun has got a sunspot on it that's several sizes the size of Earth at the moment, and if it flares, it will flare at either high. There's three classes of sunspots: small, medium, and large, basically. And the X class is a large, M is the medium. So it's either a high, medium, or a low, large sun flare bursting towards Earth in the next couple of days. And at least that's what they predict from the size of it. They can't really figure out what the sun's doing ahead of time. But that always just turns up the volume on everything else that's going on Earth.
And what do you notice when the sun flares hit?
Is everybody
activates.
Yeah, I noticed that people feel a little tired when the sun's flare is just really hitting Earth. We just tend to, sort of, you can see people's ions shearing away a bit. But in general, people activate. They start looking for new answers. They get more emotional. They have stronger reactions. Do you really need stronger reactions under a full moon in Scorpio? No.
I don't think so.
Full moon in Scorpio?
Moon in Scorpio, much less a full moon in Scorpio and an eclipse? No.
I know. Mm-hmm. Now, I thought it was interesting over the history. Some people celebrate Buddha's birthday on this full moon because the description, all we have from the Buddhist texts is that he was born on the second full moon of the year. So it depends on when you think the year starts. The people that think the year starts on the spring equinox celebrate Buddha's birthday on the full moon in Taurus. There's something so intense about the desire nature of a Taurus moon in Scorpio.
Right.
And he went through all of that and went out the other side. He went through every possible decadence and saw how hollow it was. And saw that the elimination of suffering is letting go of desiring to be different than it is. So that always fit to me, that Buddha, that, you know, we're sort of pushed to see the limits of our desire nature under this full moon.
Under this, yeah. Well, that makes sense. And it is an intense, Scorpio is an intense energy. Scorpio moons are intense. If you know anybody with them, yeah. They're just a very
half my family. Yes.
It's a very strong energy. And so
it's a very
now we're going to add to it an eclipse energy, which takes that moon and turns the light out on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like a little kid when you wake up in the middle of the night with a nightmare and you go, ho, ho, ho. And that's what eclipses do. They wake you up because the light goes off and then it comes back on.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
something about that change in quality shifts it. Now, Heather, you always explain why the eclipses happen with that 400 thing really well. So if, you know how like the 400 nearby or something, the Earth to the Sun, the proportion? I've heard you do it a few times.
The Sun and the Moon are from Earth. It's bizarre, but we're the only planet that the Sun and Moon are the same, appear to be the same size. We know
right.
that the Earth is tiny compared to the Sun. We know the Moon is smaller than us. But that just by the miracle of our proportions, the Sun and Moon appear to be exactly the same size in the sky. The same, they're about half a degree of an arc. And that, if you were closer to the Sun, the Moon might be tiny and the Earth and the Sun enormous. Pluto sees an enormous moon because its moon is closer, the Charon moon, to Pluto than the Sun is. So the moon looks huge and the Sun is tiny. So if you consider the moon as a symbol of our inner world and our subconscious, the close reflection of what's going on to the planet, and the Sun is the center of consciousness, we're the only planet where the symbol of consciousness and unconsciousness are equal. And how interesting is that when they all line up, it feels like, I always think of it as astrological acupuncture, that we've got consciousness, unconsciousness, Earth, with the focus of that zinging everything in one place. You know, and if you, in acupuncture, if you stimulate that place, you open up the flow. So what I often see eclipses do is it's like ripe fruit falling from the tree, that it stimulates what needs to happen. A lot of times it's sudden changes, but if you look at them, it's not a surprise. No eclipse action is a surprise. It's the falling of ripe fruit. It was ready to happen, and finally you admit it.
Mm-hmm. And it
you know, I go back to the night my marriage ended, the time an eclipse was on my moon in the house of partnership. And it just like, within that hour, gone. You know, 12 years, It was over, as far as I was concerned. But if I had been honest, it would have been 2 years that it's getting ready to end. That was two decades ago. But I watched that, and I'm going to say, and I started watching after that. Every time I saw big changes happening on an eclipse, they had been ripening for a long time. But you're right, as you said, when the light goes out and then it comes back on, you see what you should have seen before, but you were blocking.
Right. Right. And I think it's got something to do with that quality of, you know, one time when I was fiddling around, I'm trying to remember what we were doing. I think it was darkroom, when I was doing photography. And, you know, you'd work for a really long time in a little red light, you know, because I did black and white.
Mm-hmm,
and then when the light would come back on, your eyes would be like, oh, wow. But you would notice things in a whole different way.
Very
or
beautiful.
Even when you meditate, you know, and you kind of go into a quiet space and then you open your eyes up in your back in the room and with candlelight, and it just energetically feels really different. It feels like it really cleared something. So I think of eclipses as also really helping clear things. And they just do really help us see on a whole different level. This one's a little nastier than the others, though, for a few reasons. The rising sign is 18 Virgo, which is the same degree as the sun was on 9/11. And Pluto is, of course, stationing opposite Jupiter.
And my ascendant.
Your ascendant is 18 Virgo?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay. That's my sun.
That'll be interesting. See,
yeah, it's like,
you'll
okay.
Have connection.
Yeah, woo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's on
no,
your
sun
and
yeah,
my ascendant.
Parking right on it. And we also have Mars joined to the sun, which makes the sun, Taurus suns are a little slow moving, but it makes the sun a little more aggressive, makes a little honorary Aries energy. And the stellium in Taurus is found in the eighth house, which is always a big low, you know, and I think we're going to actually start to see some of the effects of the sequester starting to hit because there's a bunch of layoffs that are going to be coming. I got a note from JetBlue saying, you know, your flights, they're probably going to be changing because of the sequester and we're firing aircraft controllers. And then, of course, the moon Saturn is opposite the sun. So Mars opposite Saturn is also part of this eclipse. And I think of that as a frustration in our ability to get what we want to get done. And then Mercury in fire is in conjunct to the ascendant, and it rules the ascendant, and it rules the midheaven, as well as that lovely little Jupiter up there at the top of the chart in Gemini. So we're going to find we're pretty fiery, but we're also going to find, like, our words are misinterpreted, or we can shoot them off and irritate people. I got an email from somebody right before the show saying, you're being snarky. And I'm like, I'm not being snarky. I'm just being myself, you know? And I'm like, well, maybe I'm a little snarky. It's understanding words can be very fast. I mean, I can be snarky. I totally.
Honey, with the aspect lately, everybody is snarky.
Everybody's a little snarky right now. Mm-hmm. We're all running in our
snarky space. And part of
it is
when we're speaking too fast to be tactful.
Yes.
It's not that we're mean. It's not Scorpio meanness. It's Aries, you know. I remember the expression, I don't give a rat's ass. That was a real Aries expression. You know, that's, it's just you get kind of unprettied honesty, and it may not be tactful. So you have to make sure that people, if we can put that filter on and realize everybody's just shooting off a bit.
Shooting off the
mouth. You know, Mercury's sextiling Jupiter this week, and then it's semi-squaring Neptune, and it's got a lot of aspects coming up. So, you know, our thinking gets a little tweaked, and so does communication. You know, there's both being careful, realizing that we're not feeling particularly tactful, and choosing tact when we can, and also forgiving the people that are tactless.
Right.
When they're tactless.
Right. When they're tactless, I remember when my niece, Susan Aries, and she's like, do you think I care? I don't care. And I kind of looked at her and I went, you're right, you probably don't, you know, but should you be saying that, you know?
Right. And they actually care more than they admit.
Yes.
It
was just, you think I care? I don't care. I'm like, okay, got it. Yeah.
I want to just doing a little going back on last week, which was really interesting. Did you that Sun Mars conjunction the day it was Kazemi? It was exactly combust. the night that, you know, the Texas plant blew up and they were doing the manhunt in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And then just as the Sun Mars left Taurus, left Aries and went into Taurus, we figured it would calm down a little bit, was when they caught the guy in Boston.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing, the shift from an entire military occupation of a town, which America has not seen before.
It was really unprecedented, yeah.
Unprecedented. Military Mars, it was Sun Mars exact conjunction in the last degree
of Aries.
The day they had that, right, and in Aries, and then it went into Taurus, and everybody was partying in the streets that night when the Sun Mars conjunction was into Taurus. It was within an hour of the change. It was amazing to watch.
Yeah.
And now we still have a lot of adrenaline from last week that's still popping out around the edges from people, you know, with the person who tells you, you're being a little snarky, and that it's still just kind of sparking around the edges, and we just have to make sure that we put that energy in productive places.
Right,
not
and also understand
easy.
That we are going to be a little snarky as we come down from the adrenaline high. You know, when this kind of stuff happens, we start pumping it. You know, and it runs through us, whether we're in Boston or not, just watching it.
Absolutely.
You know,
we're riding
that energy. And then as we crash, because that's what happens next, we shift out of it and we turn into a whole different place. So.
And yet you're heading into that eclipse in Scorpio. And what I watched is when the Sun-Mars conjunction went into an Earth sign, we started having earthquakes. There's been one in China. One in Mexico.
One in Iran.
Yep. There's just the tectonic plates are shifting, and I think they're going to stay shifting for a couple of weeks here. So I don't, you know, the more they shift, the less likely we'll have a big one. So that's good. But it's, you know, you can feel the cooking as that discontent went from fire to earth.
Yeah.
Right on cue.
Right, and with the Mars-Saturn opposition, a lot of times that's like a little rumble, too. Now, Heather, you do a lot of work with the solar flares, so I just kind of want to go back to that, because you've watched them, you know, you got me into watching them, so I get my little NASA alert and stuff, which is always very exciting. Big solar flares coming, but... and for all of you out there listening, you can get NASA to tell you when the solar flares are coming too.
yes,
but it, you know, but talk a little bit about what you've noticed in time, because one of the things I got today or yesterday, from, you know, I'm an AFA member, and they sent a thing saying this eclipse was Timothy McVeigh and a Unabomber and some big explosion someplace that killed a lot of people and I don't remember where, but you know, but I also know you do a lot with the solar flares. So I do think we're in for a really cooking
The solar flares have been growing. And,
charged.
You know, one of the things, solar flares drive astrologers nuts because we can't predict them.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to notice them when they happen. There's a roughly 11-year cycle, and it's usually, and the last couple of ones has been relatively quiet. But when the sun is quiet, then... It's a very rich artistic time on Earth, but people tend not to look for new political answers. And it's a very good time when the sun is quiet to see off in the distance people are spiritual. They may be religious in ways that we don't approve of either, but they're looking for, you know, ephemeral answers. They're creative, and a lot of astrologers were born with the sun in a fairly quiet place.
I have that. You made me look.
Yes, and when the sun gets active, you see the more politically oriented astrologers, and the people, the politics gets more and more active. Now, the Russians were the first to notice this cycle, and they noticed very clearly that if you bring up a political concept under a quiet sun, no one notices, it's ignored. But when you start to, that people get really restless and search for new answers. One cycle it's conservative, one cycle it's liberal. It goes back and forth between the two. And you can find Carol Moore did some really interesting research. You can research her, MOORE, on the web, and to see some of the historical patterns on this. And people look for new answers. So we expected the sun to get active around 2008. That was when it was coming in online. It came in a conservative peak. It was a very small peak, but it came conservative peak around the time that Bush was inaugurated. And then it kind of petered out and was very quiet. We could not get any political change whatsoever. It started to get active right before Obama was elected. People started searching for new answers. And then right after he got elected, it got quieter than it has ever gotten. Absolutely silent in an unusual time, longer time when it was supposed to be getting active. Very, very quiet. And then it's just recently started to pick up again, the last, 4 to 6 months, getting more and more active. If we have a good solid solar flare tonight, we had one recently, right before all this, the bombing went off. And if we have another one coming up, it just turns up the volume on all the aspects on Earth, the good ones and the bad ones. It just, we get more activated. We start looking for new answers within each other. There's certain, health problems change. Our immune systems get stronger, but more cardio problems, more weather issues related to that. Everything just gets stirred up. And people don't look out into the cosmos for the answers. They look to politics for the answers. So it's interesting cycles that we go back and forth through to create balance here on Earth. So when I see those, if people are planning a problem, it gets louder. If they're planning a solution, it gets stronger. So it's a good time to know that if you put energy into a cause you believe in, there's momentum behind it. So I ask good people that believe in good causes to be active now, because the wind's in our sails and other people will be getting activated too. Let's make sure that we're balancing the energy. Let's make sure we're balancing the cause.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Okay, that's great. And that's going to start. Now, is it just tied to the flares, or is it like because we're due to have them act up again, right?
Yeah, there's a big solar sunspot right now.
Mm-hmm.
And when the
right
sunspot ejects, you can go to spaceweather.com. And when the sunspot is a building up of, magnetic energy on the surface of the sun, and then it goes woof, and it sends off this huge flare. Now, this sunspot is many times the size of Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like a dark spot on the sun, and it's a building up of, and you can feel the energy coming up from the inside of the core of the sun, then it does a discharge. And sometimes it does a discharge away from the Earth. This one looks like it's coming right at us. We don't know. And, we get great northern lights, aurora borealis, which are caused by the solar flares. And that's, showing how much it's affecting the energy field around the Earth, our atmosphere. And it sometimes causes interruption in electronic equipment if
devices.
It gets really loud. But the last ones we've had have been high, medium class, but not no X class. This might even be a low X class, and the X class are the higher ones. If you look at the patterns in history, the American Revolution, the French Revolution, and the 60s all were pretty high solar activity after long quiet spells. So we see that pattern building up again. And so the sunspot itself prepares us for the solar flare, but it's not the solar flare.
Right, right. Cool. And then once it blows, it hits us pretty quick, too. It's not like it doesn't take a long time to come across the heavens.
No, if it blows tonight, it'll hit us, I believe, tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to spaceweather.com, they'll let you know when to
watch it.
Expect
it. And what direction it's heading in, because if it's not heading at us, it goes off and bothers Jupiter or something like that. So.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. All right. So anything else about, I know, Venus going into the South Node on the weekend, very much about letting go of something. And she does that, she's going to be doing that right after the eclipse. So it's also just kind of knowing, okay, Venus hits that, and she says release. So whatever kind of comes up
mm-hmm.
under this eclipse, and the eclipse also has the finger of God kind of still culminating and separating, but it's part of the eclipse energy. So it's very focused energy, and I think if people know that, you know, extreme self-care, understand everybody's highly emotional too, and don't
mm-hmm.
take things personally.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just we're all running on octane plus as we come down after our high of last week, our adrenaline rush of last week, when we've been re-traumatized by watching, you know, a whole city get shut down, and it brings up all sorts of stuff for all of us on some level because, you know, triggers old wounds. Watching that energy kind of take place and giving ourselves permission to be kind to ourselves, I think
mm-hmm.
is really important, too. Because
beautiful.
We forget, you know, we forget how busy and how crazy, you know, and
mm-hmm.
and how people can be deeply affected on many levels, but not necessarily even have the words for it, because Mercury is in conjunct to the ascendants in the eighth house. So it's got an energy of, I want to say it, but if I say it, and the sextile, of course, to Jupiter. If I say it, I might piss you off.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to yell at me, and then I'm not going to say it. So the people that have trouble talking under this one, and then the people that tend to be argumentative, of which I would probably put myself one of those, we tend to be a little more like, I'm not being snarky. Maybe I'm a little snarky. You know, like we tend to argue more. So it's going to amp up whatever you do. And also Mercury is sitting with Eris, the goddess of discord. So remember that you love them even if they drive you crazy. And that, I think, is probably the best way to proceed. All right, so we do have 4 minutes left. I don't think we have time for a caller. And actually, nobody's got their hand raised, so that's good. Cool. Although, wait, nope, there's one with a hand raised. We can try. We got 4 minutes. We can talk fast, right?
Okay,
now?
We can talk fast.
All right.
Yep.
Hi, 518, you're on the air. Can we help?
Yes, hi, Ann. This is Erin.
Hi, Erin. How are you?
Good.
Good.
I'm calling. I just, with all the, you know, nastiness in the world and everything, I would
mm-hmm.
Just wanted to have you take a quick look at my chart and see
okay.
if you see anything.
And your birth information?
Good stuff for me. August 23rd, 1963.
Time?
12:40 a.m.
And where?
And Gloversville, New York.
Okay.
I've had a pretty difficult last few years, and I just wanted to see if you see anything. I've had a lot of really good things happen and a lot of really bad things happen.
Oh, well, I'm not going to say it's going to be quiet and peaceful for you anytime soon.
No.
But there's a lot of change coming.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to change?
I think in the love arena, I've just let go of an 8-year relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And basically a Pluto transit. And
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to, you know, leave some space for something new to come in.
Right. And get recentered in your own world.
Mm-hmm.
And your own work. Now, what work do you do? You've got a very loaded fourth house, which is home life. And usually when it's got that many planets, you've got 5 planets and 2 asteroids in that house. When you've got a loaded fourth, to create balance, to get to that, you need to develop the opposite house. Tell me about your work.
I have a couple of careers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ending a 28-year career. And also, I work, actually work with eighth house.
That's a Saturn return.
At,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, I do like accounting type work.
Mm-hmm. Mercury and Virgo.
Yeah. And really,
and jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I work with contracts.
Mm-hmm. Other people's money. And
yeah.
What do you want to be doing with that? With all of your pieces,
that's just a means for me to do. It's not really my passion.
I know.
Passion
if you could,
astrology.
If you could bat your life over the head with a magic wand, what would you be doing?
I would probably be doing the astrology right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you take yourself very seriously about that? You've got Uranus and Pluto, which are doing their wonderful things. Uranus is coming to oppose, and Pluto is squaring your Moon-Mars conjunction in Libra. So for the next couple of years, there's a lot of change going on, and the gear that the clutch is in, and you're being asked to kind of, what do you want to do to support yourself? Now, most astrologers need at least a part-time day job.
Right.
And it's really helpful to have one so that you never need your clients more than they need you,
mm-hmm.
or at least to have one part-time. I write and I do astrology in both my writing and my clients, but it helped, they balance each other. And I had a day job for a long time. So, you know, setting it up so that you do have that day job so you can experiment and grow and deepen and be as profoundly careful about your astrology as you are about your accounting.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I have two full-time, I mean, not two,
mm-hmm.
excuse me, I have a day job, a career,
mm-hmm.
And I had another part-time career, so I have a lot of in the work area.
Great.
And that's not an issue for me as far as
but see,
like,
it's
the
not
money
that you stay
in.
Busy. It's. I didn't mean about being busy. I meant about mm-hmm. being engaged, emotionally engaged. Because I think if you're emotionally engaged in your work, then your relationships will feel more stable.
Okay.
Now, some of the good news is that Pluto is leaving your house of partnership where it's been
right.
for the last 8 to 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, and that you won't be constantly having this revolution in your love life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm hoping for it to be more stable.
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and also new 12-year cycle with Jupiter in your first, rules your
mm-hmm.
seventh,
mm-hmm.
and your progressive
mm-hmm.
ascendant is going to be going into Leo, which is always nice because then we're going to be, instead of being Cancer person with the Moon in Libra,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be answering to that Sun in Leo. And, of course, the progress Sun in Libra. So I think you've got nice
mm-hmm.
relationship stuff. And then when Venus shifts, you got a lot of planets right at 28. So when they all change, that's like such – it gives you a whole new life that you can't even envision now because it just feels like there's a lot of endings going on, you know?
Right, yeah.
And the new beginnings
releasing.
Are coming. Huh? Pardon?
Mm-hmm. I've been releasing.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
you've been released.
You know,
yeah,
but
yeah.
people, things,
mm-hmm.
you know, clearing out things out of my home. And, you know, I feel this whole releasing energy going on right now, but I just...
Beautiful. And
yeah,
it's going to
yeah.
keep going on for a while. As it's,
yeah.
it's not just letting go. It's sort of letting go, composting, clearing ground, and fertilizing the next phase of your life.
Do you see mm-hmm. a move for me of residence at all?
Very, yes, very possible. Mm-hmm. Not very possibly, probably.
Yep.
Because when you have that kind of lineup hitting your moon
mm-hmm.
At 14 degrees, it's between now and the end of 2015, you've got Uranus and Pluto aspecting your moon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
and
a
the progressive
kind of
midheaven coming to oppose it, yeah.
Right.
I feel this real pull. I feel this real need to change residence, and I've lived in the same home for like 15 years.
Yeah.
And
it's
yeah.
usually a death and rebirth of home. If you stay there, you'd have to rebuild the home,
mm-hmm.
but it looks like, it feels like you'll be moving. But
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't hurry about deciding where yet. Just kind of be restless and then
mm-hmm.
start looking for where do you want to create your new life.
Mm-hmm.
You've
yeah,
got a lot of
really
opportunity here to make some real difference for the positive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the
well,
progressive midheaven coming to progress Jupiter is also very much about a new life with a new partner or a new partner energy because Jupiter is the ruler of your seventh. So I think there's like stuff
mm-hmm.
coming that you can't even imagine at this point except to say,
mm-hmm.
well, I know it's coming. I just don't know what it'll be like. And it's such an anticipatory, so much anticipating in your chart, and then there's a bunch of ending. So the,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of end the stuff that you know you need to get rid of, but then the anticipation piece, you know, it's like that ketchup song, the anticipation, and it's coming, and it's soon, and, it, you know, within the year and a half. So it's, you know, it's not long. But it can feel like long when you're sitting there waiting for the ketchup to pour out, because somehow it's just not going fast enough, you know. But,
right.
But I think it's really powerful, you know. And then mm-hmm. Jupiter in the first is like, you know, kind of having your mojo back again. You've been a little bit in the depressed place with Jupiter in the 12th lately.
Definitely.
That just makes you not feel like, you know, like you're seen, or just not feel valued. Not feel validated, maybe, even is the right word. So, but it's good.
Okay.
It looks good.
Thank you.
And that progressed moon in Leo, play. Make sure you play.
So. I'm trying. I'm going to do that this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm going to see you in Vermont.
Cool. Yeah. Okay, good.
You have
big
a wonderful
hug.
Time. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
Take okay.
care. And that's it. We're done with the show. We're off. This is Ann Ortley and
Heather Rowan Robbins speaking from Minnesota.
Yeah, and off we go. So take care, everybody. Have a great weekend. Remember, it's an eclipse, so be careful out there.
And be good to yourself.
Bye.
Good night.
Yeah, be good to yourself. Good night. Bye.